Episode 4. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. My daughter asked me once how computers go from zeros and ones to colorful graphical interfaces with buttons and web browsers. If you haven't already listened to the first part of this topic, then do that first. This episode continues where the first episode stopped and will explain the microprocessor. In part one of this episode, you learned all about bytes in memory with a tiny bit of math. Okay, maybe more than just a tiny bit. When I was planning these episodes, I realized you probably needed a chance to absorb all of that, so I decided to break the topic into two parts. We're going to talk about the microprocessor now. So, what is the microprocessor? Sometimes I might just call this the processor for short. The microprocessor is what controls and directs everything, and it does this by reading instructions one at a time from memory. It doesn't know how to do anything on its own and relies on the values in memory making sense. Hopefully you can see why we can't rely on the random values in RAM to help here. That's why we need some values to be ready in ROM the moment the computer wakes up and goes to get its first instruction. Where does it get this instruction? Well, for our computer, let's say that the microprocessor has some built-in programming of its own that we can't get to, but that defines its basic behavior. This behavior tells the microprocessor that the very first thing it should do when it wakes up is to go to memory address 0 and read that value. We're going to want the memory addresses 0 through 999, which makes up 1,000 addresses, to map to our ROM. That way, we can rely on what the microprocessor will find when it looks in memory address 0. We'll make sure that our computer places the 1,000 bytes of RAM right after the ROM, so the RAM will be found in addresses 1,000 through 1,999. So what does it find at memory address 0? Well, it had better be the first instruction. The processor will read that value and execute it. How does it know what that means? How does it know what to actually do? The same built-in behavior that told it to go to memory address 0 in the first place also knows how to determine what to do. At this level, the types of things the processor will be doing look nothing like Windows or web browsers. It takes millions of instructions to build even a small GUI application. It's a good thing that microprocessors are very good at reading and executing the instructions. Once the processor executes an instruction, it has more built-in behavior that tells it where to find the next instruction, and that will be at the next memory address. Let's move away from processors for a moment and talk about instructions in general. Imagine you're playing a game with a friend, and you can give your friend simple instructions: turn left, turn right, jump, and take steps. The other person already knows how to turn left or right and will turn the proper direction by 90 degrees each time. And jump means to jump in place. But what about that other instruction to take steps? How many steps? Let's limit the number of steps to 5, and let's also allow 0 steps to mean take no action. Seems simple so far, right? The game will start with you saying, power up, and your friend will ask, what's my first instruction? We could have you issue the commands in English, but what if we make it a bit more interesting and you will issue the commands as numbers? 0 will mean turn left, 1 will mean turn right, 2 will mean to jump, and 3 will mean to take steps. The instruction 3, which is for taking steps, will need to be followed by another number for how many steps to take. You could, if you wanted to, write out all of your command numbers in order so that they will be available without you needing to think about them. Then, the number sequence, let's say 0, 3, then 1, and then 2, will mean to turn left, that was the 0, take one step, that was the 3 followed by the 1, and then jump, that's the 2. The important thing to understand here is not so much what the numbers mean, but that you need to know where the sequence starts in order for it to have the intended behavior. If you leave out the first two numbers, 0 and 3, then your friend will not just miss the first couple instructions, but will end up doing completely the wrong things. This is because if we start the sequence 1 and then 2, then that means turn right and then jump. What happened? The problem is that when the sequence gets out of order, we can get the instructions confused with the number of steps. In this case, just looking at one by itself is not enough to know if that means to turn right or if it means to take one step. Computers have the same problems. Each value in memory could be an instruction or it could be a piece of data. The only thing that makes something an instruction is if the processor thinks it's an instruction and tries to execute it. Some of the memory will be filled with instructions, and some will be these extra pieces of information that the instructions need. Back to our computer, it knows to start at address 0, and that's something that we'll need to make sure contains a valid instruction, because that's what the processor expects to find. Each of these instructions will be small bite-sized pieces, and that gives us up to 256 instructions to work with. Wait, why 256? How did we get 256 when a byte can only count up to 255? Well, 0 is a valid value, and when you include 0, the total number of values goes from 0 to 255, which means there are 256 possible values. The same mechanism that we use to match a particular byte value to some microprocessor instruction is also how we'll represent things such as English letters, numbers, and punctuation. Let's take the number 97 and say that means the letter lowercase a. Why 97? Well, why not? We need something, and the only really important thing is that we all agree what 97 means. As long as we all agree that 97 means the lowercase letter a, then it must be so. The only thing we need to make sure of is that we don't get it mixed up with an instruction, because there's probably an instruction with the same value 97, and just like we didn't want to jump when we intended to take one step in the game earlier, we also don't want to, let's say, multiply when we were really trying to spell a word. That's about as simple as we're going to make our computer. It will start up and begin executing instructions. These instructions will allow it to rapidly manipulate data and send the results to other memory addresses. Some of these memory addresses will control colors on the screen. Some will represent commands that the user is typing. Some will represent coordinates that the mouse is currently pointing to. Putting it all together in a modern computer leads to some instructions that run when the computer first begins. You might not see anything during this stage, but some computers will display a logo and maybe play a sound. These instructions will control hard drives and read more instructions and place these instructions into RAM. This becomes your operating system, and once it's been loaded into memory, then control passes to it. This is where you'll see your operating system's splash screen and maybe hear another startup sound. The operating system can then load other programs the same way. One of these programs could be a web browser. It's all just a sequence of byte values, though, where each value is either an instruction or a piece of data. The only way to tell them apart is to make sure they don't get mixed up in the first place. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the next episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a positive rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide 5-star ratings and reviews and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming, and you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.